According to a coalition of Northwest Arkansas healthcare providers, at last check, there are 57 patients in COVID units in Benton and Washington counties. Those patients are being cared for by registered nurses like Zenobia Taylor, who works at Washington Regional Medical Center. Taylor recently spoke with Ozarks at Large's Susanna Sitek about what it's been like to work in the hospital's COVID unit since March.
Can you describe what the COVID unit where you work looks like?
So the space, our just regular ICU holds 20 beds, and we have converted all of our ICU rooms into negative pressure rooms. And so there are 18 beds that we use for patients in there. And so usually, like, if you walk in through the big double doors and you look down the hallway, there's equipment that you don't normally see, and it's all for these patients in each room. The ICU is usually full of lots of beeps and sounds and things like that, and it's even more so now because a lot of the equipment that we use for the patients is not in the room. And so it's just, it's a lot louder.
And I'm guessing that's to limit how much you're going in and out of those patients' rooms.
Yes, definitely. One of the main things is that we try our best to limit the amount of exposure in our patients' rooms. And, you know, if you're just hanging IV fluid, you know, that's an exposure. That's another form. You have to go into the room, and so that's another set of PPE equipment that you have to put on. And so we've pulled everything out of the room that can possibly be out of the room, so that way we're not, one, risking exposure, and two, having to use a set of PPE for the IV fluids or antibiotics or things that we may have to hang.
And speaking of PPE, can you give us an idea of how you prepare to go into a patient's room when you do have to do that?
Yes. So everyone that's in our COVID unit, in the hallways, we wear a surgical mask at all times. And in order for me to get into a room, I take off my surgical mask and I put on my N95 mask. And so that's the one that, you know, really protects you when you're in a COVID positive patient's room. We put on a gown that covers from the top of the shoulders, top of the neck and shoulders, down almost pretty much to our feet. Every morning we come in, we do shoe covers, or booties is what they call them. We also wear hairnets. And then we have a face shield. We have a couple of different kinds of face shields, depending on which one fits your face better, but we do that. And then we usually, most everyone, when you go in the room, we double glove. And so there's a glove under our gown and then over the top of our gown, just so that way when we come out of the room, we wipe everything that comes down, we wipe it all down, and we lay it in a certain spot with our, the best way to describe them is antibacterial wipes. They're the wipes that we use for all surfaces in the hospital that, you know, kill everything.
Since you've worked in the COVID unit since March, can you give us an idea of what that unit looked like at the start of the pandemic and what it's like now?
So in March, I don't think that everything had completely shut down just yet. And so we had a lot of patients that were coming in that, you know, looking back, there were a lot of rollout patients. And so we tested them, and if they had it, we kept them in the unit, we treated them appropriately. And if they didn't have it, then they got moved to another part of the hospital, either another ICU or up to one of the step down units, depending on what was going on with them. Now, all of our patients, like before it seemed like all of our patients, we were ruling them out. You know, they came in symptomatic, but it wasn't that. It ended up being something else. But now it's specifically all of our patients are COVID patients. We hardly have that rule out, and they may be ruling them out sooner, like in the ER or at some of the screening clinics. And so that has helped, having them screened in the ER and then, in the screening clinics. And so you know that when you walk into that unit, those patients are 100% positive.
Has it gotten any less busy in the last few weeks?
No.
Still very busy.
Still very busy, yes.
And, you know, how, and I'm sure this isn't easy to talk about how ill people are when they're coming in, but can you give us an idea of what kind of patients you are treating?
Yeah. So we all know that the COVID illness, you know, affects the respiratory system, you know, tremendously. And with that, your body works really as one whole system. And so when one thing's not working right, it causes other things to kind of not work at their best. And so when your respiratory system is having issues and you're not oxygenating well, then you're not oxygenating the rest of your body. So that means your brain, your heart, your liver, your kidneys. And so all of those systems can take hits that unless you're in the hospital, you don't really know. And unless somebody's watching that, you don't really know. And so the inflammatory process that this virus is causing in the body is tremendous. Anytime you have a massive inflammatory process, it just causes the body to be so sick because your body wants to try to fight it, but it's just, it ends up getting so bad to where their lungs aren't oxygenating appropriately. The gas exchange in the bases of their lungs are not happening. And so they're requiring these massive amounts of oxygen. And they're just, they're way sicker than, you know, you would think, you know, especially I've had a lot of patients, family members say they were fine 4 days ago. You know, they were fine 4 days ago. And one of the things that people don't realize is your body is going to compensate for so long until it won't compensate anymore. And that's where these people are getting in trouble because their body stops compensating as much as it had been prior to coming into the hospital.
Have there been issues with language barriers? And how do you handle a situation like that when you're trying to communicate with family of a sick patient?
Yeah. So there is a language barrier, you know, in Northwest Arkansas, we have a large, Hispanic population and a large Marshallese population. And so, even before COVID, sometimes there would be language barriers. And so we would have family translate for us, or we would have, you know, other workers that are in the hospital, other nurses and things that would be available to come and translate. But the hospital has kind of locked down the visitor policy, especially in the COVID unit, because it's just, we don't want to expose anybody. And so the hospital has developed, we have a communication nurse that comes in during the week at times, and she's able to kind of help us talk to the families. We have an iPad that we use that has a translation app on it that helps us talk to the family. And our communication nurse has been helpful because some of these, we offer a FaceTime where the family can talk to the patient and see the patient and kind of know what's going on. We use that with if our communication nurse is in the room and the doctor needs to talk with the family, then, you know, we use that that line of communication to kind of figure out what all we need to do for the patient. What is the best care plan of care for the patient?
Can you talk about the emotional toll working in the COVID unit has taken on you and your colleagues? I can only imagine what it's like when there's people passing away and you're not able to interact with patients the way you normally would.
It's way more emotionally taxing than I think any of us kind of thought it would be. Working in the ICU, it's a fast-paced, high-stress environment, regardless, even on your best day, because a patient can be fine and, you know, something happened just within a moment's time. But with these patients, you see subtle changes and you want them to do well. And after so many days, you know, their chest x-ray may look a little bit better, or their numbers look a little bit better, and they're not requiring as much oxygen, or they're not requiring as much medication to help their blood pressure stay up. And so you start like, oh my gosh, you know, we're doing this, we're helping them. And, you know, they start to come around and things start to look better. And, you know, sometimes they do really good and they're able to get off the ventilator and we're fine. And then other times it goes the other way. And so there is a lot more death that we are surrounded by. And so you lean on your coworkers for kind of that coping and that kind of debriefing, and you talk about it, and, you know, you find other ways to kind of manage that. I work out. That kind of helps me manage my stress and, you know, the emotional toll of it.
What's been the hardest part of working in the COVID ICU?
I don't know that there is just one thing that is just the hardest. I think it's a combination of all of those things. And when a combination of all of those things happen in one day, then that's what makes it hard, because you feel like you're not getting anywhere. You know, when you have a patient, when you work so hard to give this medication to a patient and, you know, you're doing all the things, making ventilator changes, giving them different medications, antibiotics if they need, blood pressure medicine if they need. And when you're doing that, and at the end of the day, none of that works, and then you ICU nurses tend to take things somewhat personally sometimes, and it's almost like it's a fail. And, you know, like the virus has won, and, you know, that's what you don't want. Like, you want to figure out a way, you want to figure out a combination of things that are working to help with, you know, saving this person's life. And, you know, you can't, you know, it's an unrealistic goal to think that every patient that you ever come across will always get better and will always live. And it's unrealistic to think that, but, you know, that is why you work so hard, is so that you can try to give someone, you know, another day.
Are you worried or afraid at all working in the COVID unit?
Working in the COVID unit, I honestly, I do not feel afraid to be around those patients for a number of reasons. I know that when they're in that unit, I know that we have an actual 100% positive test. Like, I know they're positive, and I know that I'm taking every precaution to be around them. I'm using my goggles, I'm using my gloves, I'm using the right mask. And so I don't feel worried about taking care of those patients. My worry is being able to keep up with the projected increases that we're projected to see. You know, it's a fear, you know, where if we're at X amount of beds and we have these many patients waiting to come up, you know, it's one of those things, like, how is that going to work? How are we going to do that? Like I said, realistically, knowing that we can't save everyone, but my worry is that at what point will our cup run over, and how do we fix it? I think that is probably, my biggest worry.
Having worked in the COVID unit for months now, what do you think is the biggest misconception the community has about this virus?
I think the biggest misconception is that it's not real, you know, that it's some political something, something or other. And, you know, people are just using it for politics, and, you know, it's as real as they come. It is. And my plea to the community is that it's very real. You know, I'm in it every day. It is very real, and it's very scary. And, you know, I don't want to see any members of our community with this, but once again, that's unrealistic for our community to not have it. It's just, I want people to be safe and do the right thing.
Thank you very much for your time and for providing that insight.
Oh, well, you are very welcome. It was my pleasure. And I just hope the community kind of heeds my warning and catches my plea for everyone to be safe. And hopefully this goes away.
That was Zenobia Taylor, a registered nurse who has been working inside Washington Regional Medical Center's COVID unit since March, speaking with Ozarks at Large's Zuzana Sitek.